Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
I'm trying to get my, what is it? Wiggle my hair back and forth.
Oh, wait, what do you?
Whip my hair back and forth.
What?
It's a song, Jocelyn, that the kids listen to. Get hip.
Oh, I must be just so totally out of it.
It's a terrible song. Don't listen to it. It's a terrible song. Don't let anybody tell you any other way. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas.
We did it. We figured out that it's mid-December and we can start being festive.
Oh my God. I feel like I'm just so incredibly far behind with all things Christmas. Yeah. I did like 0 to 80% of my Christmas shopping in like 2 hours this morning just on Amazon. I was just like, I just need 2-day shipping all the things. Because I was like, we're doing my best friend's birthday on mm-hmm. Sunday, and then like I have all these family things to do next week, and I remembered we were doing her birthday thing on the 20th. Mm-hmm. I just completely blanked on the fact that this Sunday is the 20th. I'm like, yeah. Wait, what? Like somebody said, oh yeah, Christmas is like a week from Friday, and I was like, no, you mean 2 weeks. They're like, nope, not even a little.
Yeah.
Like, oh shit.
It's weird. I was having a conversation with not your Matt, but other Matt. What is it, brother Matt? What are they? I don't know how they differentiate.
He's brother Matt.
Brother Matt. Yeah. Now I'm confused. Anyways, I was having a conversation with a Matt about Christmas and how Christmas is, like you said, a week away. And when you were kids, Christmas being a week away, it's like you were literally vibrating, like Christmas is a week away. And now that we're adults and we have things and stuff and to do, it's kind of like Christmas is a week away. Oh my God, like where did that come from? It's like,
yeah.
I got so much I need to get done.
I totally understand now why my parents used to always totally and utterly freak out around Christmas, because mm-hmm. it's a lot of work when you have to adult.
Yeah.
Like, we just got the Christmas tree tonight, and there were no Christmas trees left in, like, the greater Cambridge area. We had to go all over the place, and, like, Leanne was driving all over looking for, like, different spots we could possibly get trees. We ended up going to Zaire's, and they had, like, 8, and most of them were, like, falling apart and, like, little. And we were like, oh, there's one left that looks like it might actually be okay. But, of course, they're all wound up and stuff, so you can't even see what the tree looks like. We're just like, we're getting our Christmas tree from the grocery store.
Did you Charlie Brown it? Is that what you just did? You just Charlie Browned it?
Pretty much.
Well, that's, hey, whatever.
I have eggnog, I have candy cane fingernails, and I have a Santa hat, so I feel pretty accomplished. There's brandy in my eggnog, which is making me feel even more accomplished.
Yeah, and I've got my hat, which I grabbed off the front bench. It was decorative. Now it is my hat. And also, we have a special guest. You'll have to find him, and I'm not going to point him out because he creeps me out. So I'm just going to face forward and try not to look at myself in the camera for fear of being afraid of all the things.
Fear of being afraid?
Fear of being afraid.
I have seen your tweets. I don't really understand why you do the thing that you do, because it's supposed to be for children.
It is supposed to be for children. But
are you just like, is this practice for like future holidays?
I don't know. It's like a little of column that and a little of column like, it's fun to try something new. We've never had a Elf on the Shelf. And obviously...
Oh, you totally just gave away the secret.
Oh, well, yeah, I even pointed to him. His name is Nook, by the way. He's not as pushy as Tom Nook, although he has threatened to break my legs on multiple occasions. So it's, I'm stressed. But no, it's interesting. We just kind of picked it up. It was actually used at a holiday event where they were trying to scare kids and they were moving it. And he was just having a blast. So now, like, Ashley and I, whoever wakes up first, we move it. It's just for fun. Like, it's not... Like you said, it is for children, and I guess it could be seen as practice since next Christmas. We probably won't have a kid that'll be able to comprehend, but...
Oh, I thought you were going to say, we won't have a kid by next Christmas. We're going to have it in January and get rid of it by December. I mean,
oh, gross. No, that's not what I meant at all. I just meant
that's totally how it sounded.
I meant by next December, by next Christmas, we will have a kid. It's just, I don't know at that age whether they can appreciate being tortured by a fake magic elf.
No, not even a little.
Okay,
not
perfect. Even little. Well, even next year it'll still be for us.
You've got a few Christmases to go before they understand the whole concept of like elf and Santa and Christmas.
If anything, they'll be able to thwart the evil elf by just trying to suck on its face. You know, because I hear that's what babies do.
Oh man.
I'm
Are you not
screwed.
Worried even a little bit that I have a better idea of what like a 1-year-old may or may not be able to do?
You know
versus
what?
Like you're like, yeah, he should be like sitting up and like smoking cigars or some shit by next Christmas, right? We're gonna sit there and have rum.
No. Like I have a general understanding of how human beings
easy.
Work. No. I did not say that. You know, I have to. I would take my hat off, but this is a little tight. And if I take it off, you'll just be this ring around my head. But no, Ashley is fantastic, and she is not stressed. She's just super ready, and she's knowledgeable. And of course, I'm not like being like, "All right, you handle it. You're good to go." Like I am totally in as well. But she is on top of it. You know, she's got it locked down. And I'm just super appreciative of how ready she is. And I'm ready as well. We did a hospital tour. And Ashley said, I think once you take the hospital tour, it's going to be real for you and you're going to freak out. And I was like, I wasn't freaking out. It's like the bathtub looks like a weird thing from Doctor Who. It's weird. It's like, it looks literally like a time machine. You know how you would picture a capsule time machine? It's like that. It even has the little like controls. Yeah, it's weird. It's weird the technology
there's
they
have. You know what? I don't need to know. The listeners don't need to know. No. That's probably enough of birth. Bleh.
Well, Ryan. Don't give birth in the bathtub. That's all I'm going to say. It's more to like, you know.
On that note,
yeah,
the reason that we are so festive tonight is that we have decided we are going to take next week off for Christmas because, like we mentioned, we've got friends and family stuff to do. Our show would actually fall on Wednesday, and then Christmas Eve is Thursday. We're traveling all over the place, so it's just easier to call it a break. We don't take very many of them, so this year we're taking a break over Christmas week. That will be followed by our Game of the Year show on December 30th, and then the week after that, which I believe that's, what, the 5th or 6th of January? I didn't look it up. I probably should have, but meh, whatever.
Six.
Is going to be our episode 200, which is amazing. Ryan and I were talking about earlier just off stream how like we don't think we've ever stuck with something like this so creative and so consistently. Like for us to hit episode 200 just after our 4th year anniversary means like we've only missed a few episodes through the entire last 4 years, which is pretty incredible when you think about how often, you know, we've been traveling and everything that's been going on with us just over the last 4 years of being, you know, adults, people, stuff. I can't believe that we're actually so close to 200 episodes at 4 years. So I'm really excited. We hope you guys are excited too. We're looking for any kind of submissions that you guys want to send in. So if you have audio, video, just if you want to write in, let us know. I don't know, ask us questions. Let us know what your favorite moments were from the last 4 freaking years.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much. Oh my God, there's so much.
We give him a taste. What's the first thing that pops in your mind?
Mass Effect 3.
Oh yeah, that was a big one. That was that took over like a good chunk of time.
Yeah. I feel like there's a few things that stick out in my mind. When we first started the show, I remember my quest for all the achievements in Skyrim, and I think I came within 2 or 3 achievements of all the Skyrim achievements. I remember the Mass Effect 3 spoiler show. I remember the Zelda episode with the Icon Master was really, really good. The first time we had him on. What else? Oh, when I first picked up WoW, that was like within, I think, year one of Gamers In somewhere. Yeah. I feel like I remember the first year of Gamers In like really, really clearly. And after that, it's just kind of like, where the hell did the other 3 years go? Like, I don't even know. I don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, there are just those like milestones, like Mass Effect 3 is a big one. And afterwards, it's you start getting into the more general years where there hasn't been those like big moments. I remember Bioshock Infinite being a big one for us. That was a good one. We're just leading up to it and then finishing it and being able to spoil the crap out of it. Wolf Among Us was another one, like the one of those few Telltale games that just really captured more, you know, both of us at the same mm-hmm. time. I think really those moments that you can remember are
the road to Halo 4.
Yeah, the road to Halo 4.
Spoiled Halo forever for me.
Yeah. But I mean, even if you had done, I think even if you hadn't have been forced to play all the Halos, and you weren't forced, like you just, you played them because I had suggested this cool and creative and awesome idea. Yeah, that did kind of ruin the series for you. Road to Halo 4 was an interesting experiment in which we stated we would
review a different Halo game every week leading up to the launch of Halo 4. And then we had a Halo 4 spoiler cast, mm-hmm. like the Wednesday or the Friday. I can't remember exactly when we were doing the show at that point, mm-hmm. Right after it launched, which basically meant like we got Halo 4 and we had to play all the way through it. And then we had Angus McQuarrie, who was working for 343 at the time. I went to high school with him.
Oh yeah.
And we had him on to talk all things Halo 4. So we
Terpster
literally
was
had
on
to,
too.
Like, yeah, Terpster was on as well. Yeah. So that was like around, that was again the first year of Gamers In, because Terpster was our first video episode, and that was like episode 40.
Yeah.
So
and then he's doing the Oddcast thing. He's just super busy. So we've extended the invitation, but
we have just, man, so many memorable things from that first year. I feel like it's because that's when we made our big mistakes, and that's why they stick out in my head so well.
You just learn, right? You learn going forward, and I think now the show is just us. We're doing episode 200 now, folks.
We should just let the listeners write in or call in or email a video, whatever you guys want to do.
Submissions.
If you are going to do a video, I would just ask that you post it to your own YouTube and send me the link. That is the easiest way, so that we're not trying to like send crazy video files or whatever. Just send me the link and we'll play it on the episode. So I'm really looking forward to that. Again, that is the first Wednesday in January. Man, this is just going to be a jam-packed few weeks. I'm really, really excited. Speaking of a jam-packed few weeks, how many weeks have we had in December? I don't even know what hell day it is.
December is just one long week.
I know, right? December 1st, because I don't actually think, have I even been on? Oh, I think I've been on Gamers In, but I don't think I've actually streamed Gamers In. Yeah. Oh man, it's been so much turmoil.
You'll
but
get
anyways.
There. You'll get there. Yeah. It's all good.
I'm getting back into it.
You know, I've learned some things. Just breathe. It's going to be fine. Relax. Deep breaths.
Oh man. So the month of December, I am going for Legend in Hearthstone. So that is most of what I've been playing. So if you want to follow that journey, hashtag is Jory to Legend, J-O-R-Y to Legend. And the reason it's Jory is because I'm doing a series with Justin Robert Young, mm-hmm. Who is also trying to get to Legend. So right now I'm sitting at rank 8. I had a really good win streak yesterday on stream, and then I kind of played some matches off stream, and I'm not loving my Paladin deck so much anymore. And then we kind of ended right where we started today. So, it's really grindy. It is really grindy, but so far I'm still enjoying myself, but I haven't even hit 5. I was hoping to hit 5 by the weekend, so that's my goal. But it's a lot of fun. Doing kind of like the support group thing twice a week in theory. Again, we've had some scheduling things that we've only been able to do it once a week, but originally we were supposed to do 1 hour episodes twice a week, just to talk about, you know, decks, what we're seeing on the ladder, just kind of basically work it out, play some games and all that kind of stuff. So if you guys are interested in that, that is streamed usually Mondays and Fridays on twitch.tv/jurystone. That is J-U-R-Y stone. You can go check it out. It's also on Diamond Club. So cool. If you guys want to follow that, please do. I'm looking forward to seeing how far I get this month. And if you want to show your support, again, the hashtag is Jory2Legend. I've also been playing some StarCraft 2, played it on the stream yesterday, played some more missions last night. Mm-hmm. Man, that story it's really good, but I find it a lot more complicated than Legacy and the Kerrigan one.
Wings
of Liberty and
Heart of the Swarm. Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know why, but I'm thinking maybe it's because just the concepts around the Protoss and a lot of the names of places and just it's all so much more up here, whereas the other stories were a little bit further down here, like a little bit more relatable. The Protoss is just, it's so like, are makers, are creators. They're in the void and the, you know, this person in this place is this type of a person. But then there's these other races of people too. And then there's these things. Like, I feel like there's a whole bunch of different levels of almost like deities. Yeah. And we're kind of dealing with all of them. And everything's kind of coming together in a, I find it confusing way, but I think that's only because I didn't replay Wings of Liberty and Heart of the Swarm before I went into Legacy of the Void. Right. So I've got a couple of years in between there where, you know, I just didn't StarCraft. And so the story's a little bit difficult to figure out.
I think I see where you're coming from, and I agree with you. And I think it's, this is like the first Blizzard game where I feel like I should have read a book.
Yeah,
you know, because there's like, it's not as bad as Halo 4 where you're flat out like, I have no idea what you guys are talking about. Like, you're going you're answering questions that I haven't asked because you haven't given me the reason to ask those questions. But in StarCraft 2 Legacy of the Void, I think because the Protoss are this mysterious race that didn't interact very much in the first two games, you're kind of left wondering like, oh crap, like now we are the Protoss and we're learning about these races that were long left abandoned, like the, I don't know how far you've gotten, but there are
so before you say too much, mm-hmm. I got to the temple and I'm in the temple. I just did the mission with Kerrigan and Artanis, like the solo hero mission.
I don't know where Yeah, I mean, it's not like it's. You had basically mentioned it. You're like, you're going on a unite the Protoss mission, like getting all the splinter factions together mm-hmm. to face off against the big baddie.
Yeah,
and they're introducing races and factions that you didn't. I don't think you would know about. I'm not a hardcore StarCraft player, but I'm like, I have no idea who these people are.
It seems to me like they're pulling a lot from StarCraft, like from Blue Wars, from like original StarCraft, like not so much from StarCraft 2, just straight up from StarCraft, and they're wrapping up that whole story. So I feel like there's a lot of times where, like for me, I know who Zeratul is, but I don't know who most of the other people are. So... Mm. You know, when they have characters that come back in and everyone has like that, oh my God, it's Splur. Yeah. I don't have that oh my God moment. And same thing when somebody dies, with one exception, then, you know, I'm kind of like, oh man, I don't care as much as I feel I should. Like they give a lot of weight to those moments. And I'm just like, I feel like I'm missing a piece that would connect me a little bit more to this moment. Because one thing that Blizzard does really, really well in StarCraft 2 is the cinematics and like the in-between mission stuff. Like, they tell a really great story. And they're telling a really great story in Legacy of the Void, but I feel like I'm missing it. Like, I don't have the weight behind it that it should have.
Yeah, it's interesting because what you'd mentioned, like the last time it would have been explored in a video game would have been 98, which was almost 20 years ago. Mm. So when you think about it,
if I had played it when it came out 20 years ago, it's been 20 years.
Yeah, and it's just a matter of, you know, the last time we've had a in-game Protoss story, like solely devoted to Protoss in the eyes of the Protoss, because we got a little bit of Protoss through Wings of Liberty and Heart of the Swarm, but it was always through the eyes of the Zerg or mm-hmm. the Terran, and it was like they didn't get into all the nitty gritty like Maker, Kala, Ethernet cables running out of their heads. It was always just kind of like, oh, you're an alien, you need more pylons, like right over there, just keep them away from my shit. And you know, thinking about that, like 20 years, it's, I kind of was like, I was cool with just going in and not kind of knowing what was going on, and like you said, Blizzard really introduces these characters and allows you to further understand them through their conversation systems. Mm-hmm. And I love the whole Mass Effect, go back into after the mission and just talk to everybody. Mm-hmm. That was my favorite part about Mass Effect. It's like, oh, one more mission, because I want to talk to Liara after this and see what else she has to say, mm-hmm. you know, or talk to Caden or...
Yeah, and that was one thing that I found was that I would go in and I would talk to people and I get more background, so I would find out like who they were, and they'd be like, "Oh, don't you remember? You were my best bud, and then you like died in junk, and now you're back as an AI thing." And when that happened, and I'm not gonna give any more detail than that, because this is not our StarCraft spoiler cast.
201.
But when that happened, there were a couple of people in the chat room who were like, oh my god, that character! And I was like, hmm?
I never had that reaction whatsoever throughout that entire game.
Oh.
Just,
so again,
just,
like I feel
you,
like that
was
a StarCraft thing, not a StarCraft 2 thing. So I was just
I just meant, like, I had the same reaction you did. Like, he's an alien, right? Like,
yeah. But one thing I did do last night with StarCraft 2 that I hadn't done before, mm-hmm. co-op missions.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, actually really, really fun. Josh and I played a couple on stream. We did, I played once as Kerrigan, which mm-hmm. trying to learn how to Zerg again, way harder than I remember. Oh my god. I had the whole entire probably first 15 minutes of the game. The only creep I had was like at my two hives because I totally forgot to put creep tumors down. And I'm like, my creep just like spreads from my hives, right? I don't actually have to do anything. Turns out, yeah, you do. That creep doesn't spread itself.
No.
So I was just like, it was really fun to try to like learn them again on the fly because I'm like, I know I've done Zerg before, but I'm definitely a Terran player and I've been playing Protoss obviously for the last few weeks because that's what the Legacy of the Void campaign is. So I'm just like totally not in a Zerg headspace. And then it's like, I'll pick Kerrigan. How hard could it be? Spoiler alert, hard.
Yeah, the Zerg heroes in the co-op missions, Josh and I first played, and I played a bunch as Artanis and was having a blast. And then we played again, and I kind of jumped around to try all the other ones. And the Zerg ones are you're a hero, and you're physically on the map, you know, going around and being all super powerful and whatnot. The Protoss, I just enjoyed more because it was less units to worry about and more powers.
Mm-hmm.
And mind you, those powers were powers that you were using in the campaign, so I was very familiar with what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike with Kerrigan, where we were failing all of a sudden. It's like, I don't know, we just trounced this mission. I don't know what's happening. I don't know how to play Kerrigan.
Yeah, we had the train mission and then the like transport mission, so we had to like stop the trains and shoot down the transports. And so when we did the trains, it was kind of difficult. But then the transport ones, which was the one I was Zerging, was a little bit more easy. But yeah, and Grant in the chat room saying when I was streaming, I was like, how do I Zerg again? Like, I had no idea what I was doing. I was like, I Zerglings? And then I was like, spawning pool. Wait, no, I don't want to do a spawning pool. That's upgrades. I just need to make Zerglings. And then, yeah, it was, that learning curve, though.
Yeah, I think when it comes to the co-op missions, like, my favorite part of post-story content in terms of activities in StarCraft, I don't want to do the latter. I find matchmaking, it's for some people, but for me, it's just too stressful. Like, I don't like mm-hmm. doing that. Although I did a bunch of it with Heart of the Swarm, but I like comp stomps. And that's just more like there's no progression. You're just having fun and shooting the shit with your friends. And with the co-op missions, like, you can do that. Plus, there's progression. Plus, they're going to be adding new content. Might have Melkor in the chat room saying, hopefully Nova will be a co-op hero, given that she's getting her own co-op covert mission DLC. I think that would be fantastic.
She's getting that covert mission stuff, she might not actually be, like, they might go to other characters before they go back to her just to not focus on her too much. But I think because she is a character in Heroes of the Storm, I think they're trying to put her in the spotlight in StarCraft a little bit more, because Nova is kind of a bit of a background character. Like, she's there, but she's definitely not a main character in the way that, like, Tychus or Raynor or Kerrigan are, you know? So
yeah.
I think they're trying to kind of bring her to the front of Blizzard games to be like, oh, okay, yeah, you know that Nova character that everyone freaking loves in Heroes of the Storm? Well, here she is in her home game of StarCraft, and this is why you should love her, because she's pretty badass.
She was supposed to actually have her own game, and then it got canceled. It was StarCraft Ghost, I think, and it's unfortunate that got canceled, because it looked so cool and so different from anything Blizzard's ever done. Even though I don't think it was being developed by actually a Blizzard team, but it would be interesting. I like the different venues that Blizzard's opening up for StarCraft II in terms of post-campaign DLC and other DLC options. I just like to know that they're going to be adding more to a game when I finish it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially StarCraft, in that we haven't had, like, StarCraft III is like, I don't know, I literally do not know if we're going to do a StarCraft 3. That's Blizzard's actual quote. Like, never say never, right? That's their line. But
they're doing the whole no plans as of right now thing.
But so. You know, it's nice that they've still thought that. Well, we may not be planning a full on sequel because we just spent 10 years developing this one. Mm-hmm. We're going to be supporting it with DLC. The engine's still fantastic. It looks amazing for an RTS, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm all for co-op missions. I want more heroes. I want more maps. More maps would be great. Once you play enough of them, those six are just like, all right, let's chase that train down again. So, yeah, that'd be great.
Yep. So what else have you been playing other than some co-op-y, StarCraft-y stuff?
So it's been kind of quiet on the gaming front for me. I've sort of just been jumping around different things. But Destiny caught my eye again. I figured I'd jump into Destiny because I don't know if you've been if you've seen these stories, but Destiny's, since they moved to the live team and doing monthly updates, December's update is racing. And okay. I thought, oh, this is going to be lame. It's just going to be hop on your Sparrow and race point A to point B on maps that are already present in the game. That was my assumption. And then when I went in and actually played it, it's like, no, this is a racing mode that they've added to Destiny with custom maps and custom-built maps that actually look like you're starting a pod race. Like, it has a very Episode 1 feel to it, which I think is fantastic considering it's Star Wars week. But it's just a great example of what... a great example, but also maybe not an example that people want of Bungie adding to Destiny. Like, when you... here's a good question. Like, when you think of post-game content for a shooter... What would you like? You know, a story-based shooter. What would you like as post-campaign updates?
Definitely more story stuff. So maybe even historical missions kind of thing. Like having the ability somehow to play through some of like the background, other parts of the universes, other times, you know, that kind of stuff. That would be really cool. Or,
it's a good one.
Like PvP maps, probably, like more places to PvP.
Yeah, and I mean PvP maps is certainly something on their radar.
I think those are my two big things, I think.
Yeah, PvP maps is they added 8 with the first game. They added 8 in the post game. So, but that was paid DLC. But now with this free DLC, like they're more focused on or what appears to be event based content. So October's and November's was sort of the Festival of Loot, which was basically a glorified Halloween event. And it was more just like a mechanic of you get masks and you turn them in for loot. And you just basically play the game and there's that extra metagame layer. With this update, it's not story. It's a new mode. There's no new story to it. It's just basically like, we do races now. And the lore supports that we've been doing races for a long time. We just made it available to you now. I agree with you. I want story. I want to go further in the story because the Taken King ends in a way of like, of course we're doing another one, guys. Come on. that's basically the ending. And we haven't got that yet. And I don't foresee Bungie doing it because they haven't. They actually answered this question in that like, oh yeah, we're super planning cool stuff for 2016. Just wait. The first thing we're going to do is going to be another Festival of Loot type event. And then the next one will be an update bigger than you've seen since the launch of the Taken King. Ooh, exciting. And I'm like, but what does that mean?
Yeah.
Like if it was story
bigger content, than all your little monthly things.
that's what they're getting at. And I think when you really compare it, you're kind of, I think the comparison they're going for is kind of WoW, but WoW's content that just added for events like, you know, Wintervale or Noble Garden. Like that's sort of what they've been doing so far. I hope they get around to doing something like WoW does with adding like raids and stuff. It'd be really cool to see them take the story forward. I hadn't even thought about historical battles. There's a lot of cool lore referenced in the text of raids and past encounters that went good or bad. That would be really cool to revisit in sort of like a time walking sense.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no whiff of that. Although the racing, I gotta say, the racing is really fun, and I was going in kind of like, oh, this is gonna just be, they launch you on the moon, and it's basically just like an empty map, and you have to like go through the flags, and whoever gets the fastest time wins. But it's actually like a racing game where you're racing laps on a map, and there's jumps, and there's boost gates, and they actually count it as PvP matches. So when you win, when you win, it counts towards your tally. It gives you rep bonuses for your Crucible. So if you own Destiny and you own the Taken King, it's certainly worth checking out, because they've already announced that this is a limited time event. It's only happening in December.
So how do you kind of feel about that? Because I mean, some things in WoW, well, most all the world events obviously are very, very small windows. They happen once a year, but something like racing, it seems like they could just leave it in there. Like, how do you feel about them giving you content and then essentially like taking it away again without it being tied to kind of like a time of year or a season?
Yeah, I think what they're getting at is they're trying to do the whole like make it special and keep it around for a month to make it special. But I think if they left it in there, it would kind of get old pretty quick. But because it's in there for a month, it's kind of like, ooh, racing. I'm going to do racing. I'm just going to race. Yeah. But I kind of feel bummed, because it's like, it'd be really cool to leave it in there. If I, you know, take away the extra meta layer, if you want, you know, the reward system. Just let me race at least, you know, all the time. We're on weekends. They do that a lot, actually, in Destiny, where there are certain events that only happen on specific weekends. There are certain events that only open on the weekends, which is weird to me, because we live in a day and age where, you know, people don't just play video games on Saturday and Sunday.
True.
But yeah, and I'm not a big fan of it. And I think this sort of manufactured scarceness of something that doesn't require, I mean, it could get stale, because there's only two maps, only two race maps. So I see what they're doing.
Yeah, see, I would rather that they kept it in there, but just kept adding more maps, like with each monthly update. We're just like, here's a new race map, like, yay. Because, I mean, like, and chat room right now is saying it's kind of like Brawls and Hearthstone, which is, for those of you who don't play Hearthstone, every Wednesday we get a new kind of small little game mode. It doesn't follow the normal Hearthstone rules. It's basically just a dev playground. They just do whatever the hell they want to do. It's only available from Wednesday until Monday. And then there's like an update on Tuesday, and then we get a new brawl on Wednesday. So it's this constant cycle of new content. But we always have, like, brawl mode is always there. Like, we always have a brawl, whether it's a repeat. Like, sometimes it's a repeat, but it doesn't, like, go away. Like, they are full on taking away this racing mode. And I like what you said there about, like, manufacturing scarcity, because I feel like that's, and I'm sure that this isn't necessarily the case, but I feel like they've done sort of the same idea with Overwatch. It's like, you, and I don't know if you guys, did you guys talk about the fact that Overwatch is no longer available?
I think we might have missed it last week. Like, it was sort of announced right after we recorded.
So I think it was on the 10th, it was no longer available. So they've just basically taken down the Overwatch servers for about a month. So it's supposed to come back in January. And it's kind of like, well, you're coming up on the time, and maybe this is why, where a lot of people are going to be off work, and so they'd probably be able to play. And it feels like an odd time to like just take down Overwatch. Like, why wouldn't you just leave it up and say, you can play it, but we're not supporting it for a month, like if you want to give people vacation or holidays or whatever. Because I do understand that everyone should get, obviously, yay, Christmas, everyone should get some kind of a vacation, a holiday around the holidays. So, you know, I do get that, but I don't necessarily see the harm in just like leaving the servers up, not doing any updates, and letting people play for a month, and then saying, okay, everyone's back now, like, yay.
Well, the thing is, like,
taking it away completely just seems like they're trying to almost do like another beta launch, like they want to rehype everybody or something.
Well, it's a paid product, right? Like, because it's a paid product, you don't want to kind of give people their fill as a free beta, right? Because even if you take away the whole like monetization, evil company, blah, 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 which I don't agree with that statement, but I'm sure Reddit is making that argument. And all the other social networks. We have not gotten hate mail about our Reddit hate, but if I keep at it, I'm sure we will eventually.
It's not necessarily Reddit hate. It's just, it's I feel like my relationship with Reddit is, it's complicated. If we were in a Facebook relationship, it would be complicated.
Yeah. I mean, me and Reddit, it's been complicated for a while, but
yeah.
I dig certain aspects of Reddit. It's just the tool is amazing, but sometimes you get an idiot with a hammer and he just wrecks ship, you know? So, that's a phrase now, wreck ship. but anyways, Overwatch, yeah, it can be seen that way in that they're taking something that's free, which is not going to be free. It's going to be a paid product. And I don't know about you, but with certain games, like, I'll play them enough and be like, okay, I'm done. I've experienced everything I want to experience, and I'm going to do something else.
Yeah, and I guess Overwatch is a little bit different than something like, say, Warcraft, because, I mean, Warcraft, Legion, the alpha, beta, like, everything is live pretty much right up until the launch, and that's a paid product as well. But I guess where there's story tied to it, it's a little bit different than Overwatch. Like, Overwatch, you can go in and you can play over and over and over and over and then be done with it. So, unless you're a super competitive Overwatch player, like you want to go pro. But for the majority of us, I can definitely see people kind of getting sick of it. And then, but at the same time, maybe they are worried about streamers getting sick of it, because really their beta isn't that wide. Like, yeah, it's been a very small, very selective beta. So I don't know. I really don't know what they're doing. It seems very, very odd to me. But
it's a tough one to crack. But really, there could just be the simple explanation of, you know, this, we've got all the data we need for this phase of the beta. We're going to take a break. We're going to take that 6-week break or whatever, and we're going to come back with a new version of the beta that includes like the progression system and more maps and more heroes, and although I think all the heroes are in there, but just more of the game and more of the launch game.
We're going to come back with another more polished, all your suggestions and polish up the game.
I mean, it's Blizzard. I don't think it's nefarious. Like, there are companies out there.
I don't know. Sometimes I feel like we just give Blizzard way too much leeway.
You think so?
I think so.
You're probably right. But I think in this specific instance, like, I mean, it's tough. You can never know, right? Like, every time Blizzard could be like, I'm going to put 50% off everything in the store.
End, like, Blizzard is in the business of making money. They are a corporation. So, yeah, I think maybe we've been giving them a little bit too much leeway for a little too long. I don't necessarily want to go, like, full on to the hate on corporations, hate on Blizzard, they're out to get us bandwagon. But I do think that every once in a while, stuff like this really just smells of, we just really want you guys to get hyped again, so we're going to take it away, and then you can have it back when you've been good. Okay? Okay.
Go play Paladins, everybody. If you're looking for a game to fill the hole,
play Paladins. Go play Paladins, So, Paladins is still closed beta, but you can buy into that if you would like to. I think it's, $30?
It is. I think it's 20, actually, and you get some cool 20? Stuff. Oh, 20? Okay, I couldn't remember. Jim's been playing it. I mean, he's been playing it a lot, but not a lot where you'd think that he would get all the cards. But he actually has gotten all the cards thanks to playing the game combined with buying that beta access, which gets you 20 chests. And also, if you don't want to pay to get it into the beta, I've unlocked, I think I have 3 more beta invites with more coming the more we play.
Oh,
so
cool.
If you do want a beta code, just send an email into info@gamersinpodcast.com and we'll hook you up.
Sweet. Yeah. All right, so if you guys want Paladin beta keys, then just let us know. Awesome. One thing that we wanted to let you know about is that if you are looking for a fantastic gift this holiday season, you can go to bit.ly/amovestore because we now have custom glassware. So we have coffee mugs, pint glasses, wine glasses, and you can also, which is, you know, kind of related to glass, but not like actual glass, you can get window or card decals of your favorite A-Move show or just the A-Move TV logo in general. If you buy like the pint glass, it has your whatever show logo you pick on one side, and then it has the A-Move logo on the other side, which is super, super cool. So again, that is bit.ly/A-Move store, A-M-O-V-E store, all lowercase, really super easy. Head on over there and grab yourself some A-Move swag. That brings us to our topic of the week this week, which actually is more, it's news. It's not really a topic this week.
It's a grab bag.
It's really a grab bag of stuff. I know the thing that I want to talk about is like way at the bottom. So, Ryan, why don't you talk about Destiny? Because I can relate this back to Warcraft, so I'll be in a happy place.
So, again, we just did our Reddit apology, but not to give Reddit some more infamy. The internet exploded. Well, let's just blame it on the internet. The internet exploded. Destiny is selling boosts for your character for a whopping $30. And I'll get right out in front of this. Like, I don't care. I could care less that they're selling this. I don't know why people freak out when they sell boosts. Like, it's literally like they threw one in when you bought the Taken King. And if they want to attach $30 to that experience of grinding through the first 25 levels, which, guys, doesn't take very long. Don't buy the boost.
So it's a boost to 25, not a boost to max level.
Yeah, it's a boost to get you into the Taken King content, from what I understand. And everyone's kind of freaking out.
This is literally exactly the same thing that Warcraft did. So with the pre-purchase of Warlords of Draenor, you got a boost to 90. It was the first time they introduced it. You could buy a boost after that. So you got one free one. And then you could buy a boost after for 60. And then now with the pre-purchase of Legion, you actually get a boost to 100, which is basically like the end of the previous expansion's content. So that gets you ready, set, go for the next expansion. So it's kind of to pull people back in. If they haven't played since Vanilla or Burning Crusade, then they can kind of like skip through everything and get right in and play with your friends. I have boosted Warcraft characters. The way I see it, like, I think right now I have 52 days played on my main hunter. I don't want to sink that kind of time into any other characters. Like, I just want to, if I want a druid or I want a priest, I want a heal, I want a tank, you know, I just want to do something different. And I want to play with my friends. So if I've got the extra cash laying around, like, it doesn't impact anybody else. It's not like I haven't put my time in with the game. So I don't know. Like, if you want to throw money instead of time, like, it really, that's what it comes down to, is the balance of like money versus time. Mm-hmm. My choice of how I want to get that level, whatever character, 25, 90, 100, whatever, that doesn't actually impact how, say, Ryan plays the game. Like, and especially even if you want to throw in like PvP, it's like, okay, so I have a fresh level, whatever character. I've never played it before. You did the work. You went through and just ground up your character. And we come face to face in PvP, you're going to wreck me because I have no idea what I'm doing. Yeah. So, I mean, really, like, I don't necessarily see the problem with it. I mean, yeah, it's kind of a money grab, but then at the same time, it's like, if it takes me 50 hours to get a character to max level, like, is my time worth $1 an hour? Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't necessarily see the problem.
It's not a problem for me because I've always been of the mentality, like, I don't get upset at things that I have when it comes to entertainment stuff, like, stuff that does not matter, like, video games, they matter to me, but they aren't, like...
In the grand scheme of things.
Yes, thank you. In the grand scheme of things, like, there are things I deeply care about that I will get upset about, but when it comes to video games, I have no interest in boosting my characters. Maybe if an instance comes up where I need to do that, I'll be like, $30, sure, whatever. But for me, it's like, I see this, like, whatever, Bungie, if you feel the need to sell boosts, go at it. It's your game. I'm not going to buy it. So if people are upset by this, just don't buy it.
Just don't do it, yeah. And the thing is, what they aren't selling is any kind of... Like, you can't go into the Destiny store and you can't go into the Warcraft store and buy a weapon that will double your damage output. You know, like, it's not actually impacting player versus player or player versus environment gameplay. You can't essentially pay to win. You can just pay to skip the grind. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't necessarily see the problem with that. I see the problem with stuff where, you know, like, for instance, even I would say SWTOR, where when you sub or something, I can't remember, but there's some sort of monetary barrier and you get like a speed boost so you can run faster. That, to me, that changes your gameplay completely. So that is more of a problem to me when you have two people in game play like same level, same everything, but then one can do something better than the other because they're paying. That's where I don't like. Yeah, that rubs me the wrong way. But if you're just paying to not have to play content from one to whatever, especially if they say you have to have a character, you have to have a character at that level before you can boost, then it's like, I've already done this content once. Like, I've already put my time in. Just let me do it for whatever. Don't make me do it again. Let me pay for it.
For those diehards that have been playing Destiny for the entirety of year one and have been playing their Titan for a year, 3 hours a day for a year, continuing that in year two with that Titan again, because there's a gear reset when a new expansion comes out. Like, your gear is almost instantly replaced. It becomes worthless. This is not new in the concept of MMOs. So when you think about it that way, it's like, well, it's not even applicable, because when you buy the Taken King, you get a free boost. And you can apply that to another character. Like, say, okay, I'm going to try the Hunter this time because I played the crap out of the Titan. It's smart to offer this to players, and it's completely optional. And I think when you look at what Blizzard's done with their boost, they've done it the right thing. And I think Destiny and Bungie have kind of looked at what Blizzard's done and said, okay, we include one for free with the expansion. Mm-hmm. Got it. And we sell the other ones for a price. And they're doing the same thing that Blizzard's doing, and it's just makes sense.
I even think that they've costed it well. I mean, Blizzard is getting away with $60 for a boost up through the top of their content. It's 10 years worth of content. It's, you know, 90 to 100 levels, depending on when you bought your boost. So basically, you're just $60. You know, you've got, what, 25 levels in Destiny? That's probably pretty close to half the time it would take you if you just went through and did like the most efficient way to level through both Warcraft and through Destiny. It's probably, I would think, about half the time.
It takes significantly longer to level through WoW. So when you look at that
through cost, WoW?
Oh yeah, with WoW, like Destiny's like,
even with all of the, because I mean, they've squished the crap out of stuff. Like,
I guess it's been a while, so
yeah,
you're probably right.
Think the last time I started to level a character, I got to level like 35 in 6 or 7 hours.
That's not bad.
Yeah, it's really, really quick now, especially in the early content.
Yeah, no, I. So with Destiny, maybe it's just, you know, it's so fresh that it probably takes a little longer because it's literally one game of content. Yeah. But I think when it comes to Destiny, like offering that free bonus with when you buy the Taken King is all you'll really need. This just extra boost is for those folks that really want another character at max level. But if you want to complain about something in Destiny, like going back, we talked pretty positively about the Sparrow Racing, but Destiny has kind of gotten into this whole microtransactions thing. And again, if you don't want to buy it, you don't have to buy it. But they literally added a $10 racing book that just keeps track of your stats. As far as I know, that's all it does. It displays how many races you've won.
And it only does it for a month. So you're basically buying something in the game for $10 that then is only going to be good for the month of December?
I'm not sure, but I would hope it's just your racing career in Destiny. Like, you buy it once and then it adds pages as you go. I think what it does is when you buy it, it opens you up to more rewards in the Sparrow Racing, so you're kind of paying for that Sparrow Racing content that as DLC, but you don't have to. You can just play it for free. I'd have to look into it more, but I went into the store and I saw this like $10 for a racing book. What does it do? Oh, it just displays my top time and how many times I've won. No thanks.
Yeah.
You know,
and I feel like maybe they might repurpose that later on or so. I don't know. $10 seems ridiculous to me. But Grant in the chat room is saying that $60 is expensive on WoW's end, because in some ways you can get to 90 in about a week, 4 to 6 hours a day. I'm not necessarily justifying WoW's pricing. I think $60 for a boost was a little bit pricey, but at the same time, they haven't lowered it. So obviously people are buying it at $60. And given that kind of that's the standard now, is to boost to the end of your previous expansion's worth of content is, you know, like $60. I think that Destiny has done a good job saying, like, okay, well, we have like half of that content, so we're going to charge half of that price. Like, WoW set the bar. I'm not saying that it was the right bar, but I'm saying that's the bar that we have and that, you know, companies have to work with. They're saying this is working in another game that is similar to ours, therefore we're going to judge our boost accordingly.
Yeah. There's actually a really, you have to hand it to Bungie. They've got a really great website that sort of goes over this event of Sparrow Racing, and as a free addition to the game with being supported by microtransactions, it's pretty awesome. It's pretty rad. It's well designed. It's really cool. And WoW does this too. Blizzard does this too with their updates, where they just have this really cool documentation for these additions that they put in. And I mean, I have a hard time getting upset about video games because there's so much positivity in video games. And if you just don't want to be negative, just avoid the negative things. Of course, like, get angry when something shitty happens, but yeah, I don't know. I don't think this is cause for getting upset.
Sorry, I was totally focusing on my fairy dragon for a second.
Your fairy dragon?
Yeah, he's falling over.
Oh no. See, he's, I know, he's right? Upset. He's fairy upset dragon by down. By all these microtransaction business.
So speaking of microtransactions potentially, you've got a few. I don't play Smash Brothers at all, so.
Yeah, well, we can do this quickly. They did their final Smash Nintendo Direct, and they announced that they're going to be adding Cloud from Final Fantasy to Smash Brothers. I remember originally when they said...
Oh, Matt was super excited about this.
Yeah, and I played as Cloud, and he's really good. He's really good.
I was literally picturing, like, a poofy Cloud from, like, the background or something, and I'm like, what is so special about the specific Clouds from Final Fantasy that they are worthy? Like, Nintendo's really reaching here.
Well, Nintendo actually did have, like, a Cloud character. I don't know if you played Super Mario RPG, but, you know, there was literally, like, his name was Mallow, and he was a Cloud. And it was actually a Square Enix character, so it kind of fits. But no, Cloud was added, and he's awesome, and the stage he comes with is awesome. And I think it was $8 for Cloud on Wii U, 3DS, and the stage. And it's just such a faithful recreation that amount of money isn't a big deal to me. It's like, that's the perfect amount. Like, I'm all for that. But they also announced that the final characters joining the roster would be yet another Fire Emblem character from a game that's not out yet, which is disappointing, because I don't know if you remember, they did what was called the Smash Ballot, which allowed you to nominate characters that you wanted them to make.
Right.
And mine was Banjo-Kazooie, because I'm a huge Banjo-Kazooie fan. Even though it's now sort of under the Microsoft realm, I still think they could have figured it out, considering Phil Spencer said, we should figure it out. but they added another Fire Emblem character, and the character that they added as a total surprise is Bayonetta, which is the, I don't know if you remember, it's the mature title put out by Platinum that was basically like a witch who uses her hair to fight demons or angels. Yes. And then she gets kind of naked when she does it for some reason.
I do remember the kind of naked.
Yeah, there was some nakedness happening. And they've translated that in the best way they can to a teen game. So there's less nakedness happening. But it still happens. And that they'll be joining in February. And a lot, again, the internet, as they normally do, was a little upset that they didn't get their suggested character. But Nintendo did announce that of the characters that were submitted, Bayonetta and Cloud were the most realistic choices in terms of licensing and fitting into the game. But I mean, Cloud, he was never even on a Nintendo system. He's a Sony character, really. You know, Final Fantasy VII was PlayStation. Yeah. So count your blessings, folks. It's a pretty fantastic addition. Grant. Yeah, spoiler alert, Bayonetta's coming to Smash Brothers. I think I just blew someone's mind. and the best part is, Jocelyn, we're getting amiibos for all of them.
Yay, amiibos!
Yeah.
You're really excited. You're going to buy all three.
I'm going to buy Cloud and Bayonetta.
At least Cloud and, yeah.
I don't think I'm going to get the Fire Emblem character, because I have no, like, attachment to this new character, but
we'll see.
We'll see. And I think, like, Cloud will be another amiibo that that Kearney buys, because, like, he's got a few of them. I don't know if he's hid them.
I haven't seen them, so I'm assuming they're just in a box somewhere, because we haven't totally unpacked yet. So
you should find his amiibos, because he has some. I know for a fact.
So the story that I'm actually really excited about, because it's very, very holiday, it's very Christmassy, it is in the world of Blizzard, so obviously I'm super gung-ho about it, but it is the Feast of Winter Vale. So I'm super excited. They've got it in Warcraft, they've got it in Hearthstone, they've got it in Heroes. It's coming with some big sales, so not so much in Hearthstone. Hearthstone, you get 50 classic packs for $50. Nobody really needs... No, not nobody. Classic packs are now two expansions and three adventures old. Mm-hmm. So this is, you know, this is launch content that is now on sale. So, and it's not even that big of a sale. 50 packs for $50. You're basically getting 10 free packs because normally it's 40 packs for $50. So the Hearthstone sale is not that much to write home about. But the Warcraft sale is 50% off your pets and mounts. So you've got your normally $25 mounts are now $12.50. And your normal, how much are pets? Are they 15? 10 or 15? I can't remember. Yeah, so anyways, yeah. they're around five to $7.50. I can't remember off the top of my head. But basically, your cosmetic stuff in Warcraft is on sale. Plus you have all your in-game events. There's the boss to kill, there's new gear, all that fun stuff. Heroes of the Storm is also doing a sale.
Mm-hmm.
50% like off everything.
It's basically just their Black Friday sale again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is interesting.
With Christmas costumes.
Yeah, I just wonder doing the same sale again, if that just is gonna set a precedence, like a Steam sale precedence where it's like, I'm not gonna buy that game, I'm gonna wait for the Steam sale.
I would think so, because that's definitely what Warcraft has done to me with the mounts and the pets. I don't buy anything regular price from Warcraft anymore because I'm just like, it's all going to go on sale. So why would I, like, I don't need to have this right now. So I'm just going to wait till it goes on sale, because $10 or $12 for a mount, much more reasonable than $25. Like, that 50% off makes the cosmetic stuff in Warcraft, I think, the price that they should be normally. And they're starting to do that sale kind of twice, if not three times a year, I think. So it's worth waiting for. Hearthstone also has a really cool card back. It's the festive card back that you get for participating in the Brawl. So you have to, as far as I know, Brawl today through Monday. I don't know if they're going to do another Wintervale Brawl or not, but for sure you can get the card back in this week's Brawl. So if you haven't done it, it's worth going in. It's kind of a crazy Brawl, but it's fun. So just play around with it. It is a deck crafting Brawl, so I'm kind of hoping that they do two Brawls. One is a like craft a deck, and then another one is like a pre-made deck, because I feel like there's going to be a lot of people being like, damn it, I don't want to make a deck, I don't know how to do that. So yeah,
I like what Blizzard's doing and expanding their Wintervale and their holidays to all their games.
It's so festive.
Yeah, I like the way they've done free content celebrations as well. Like with Heroes of the Storm, you basically get a free holiday-themed treasure goblin.
Right.
He's got a Santa hat. It's Christmas. Like, let's stop beating around the bush here. And then with Hearthstone, you're getting that free card back you mentioned just for free, just by playing. Yeah. And I was playing Heroes last night and just really, really enjoying the festive spirit, and I'm really glad that one of my favorite characters, Sylvanas, has a Christmas skin.
Her Christmas skin is so cool.
Is very cool, and I gotta hand it to Blizzard, like, the fact that you can have variations to your custom skins and the normal skins that you get by leveling up, those variations look almost as awesome as the base skin, if not more awesome. You know, you got your Elsa, your Frozen inspired version of that Sylvanas skin, and then
didn't even see that.
Yeah, it's basically are the character from Frozen, and
I saw the first like color variant of it, and I was just like, okay, yeah, I'm in. I'm just gonna get it. I didn't even look at the other variations. I just
Yeah, and the last one.
Need to pay more attention.
Oh, it's super cool. The last one, I think, is more of a Nightmare Before Christmas-esque, like a Tim Burton.
Oh my God, we were just watching that today. It's like my favorite movie. I love that movie.
It's so good. But
I watch it at Halloween and Christmas because I'm one of those.
Well, hey, you know what? You can double dip. You have to. But no, I'm really tempted to just pick up some of these skins and heroes, especially the new hero, Lunara. She launched 50% off, which is crazy.
She did. I tried her. I wasn't a huge fan of her. She looked a lot more mobile in the actual like thing they showed at BlizzCon when they announced her. She seemed to be able to kind of jump around a lot more, and she does have her ultimate ability that lets you like jump over a hero and then jump back again, or you know, jump twice. Just basically you have to jump over an enemy. So, I mean, it can make you really mobile, but I don't know. For some reason, I didn't expect her to be so slow and squishy, I guess.
Yeah, she is. I kind of dig that. in my characters. Like, I like Artanis as a tank, kind of going in there and just doing a bunch of damage and getting out, and being able to trap people with some of their moves. But I think Lunara is more of like a cold and calculated. I like the mobility because it adds that flavor of if someone's trying to, like, really low health and heading for the fountain, you can jump over the wall, snipe them, get your hits in, then jump back. Mm-hmm. It's just really cool. But the thing is, I haven't played a match with her yet because it just takes forever to get a match, and she doesn't have a Christmas skin, so
yeah,
you know, can't win them all.
So yeah, the Feast of Wintervale goes on at least until Christmas. I believe it goes on until New Year's, but I'm not 100% sure on all my dates on everything. But yeah, if you are a Blizzard fan, if you play Heroes, if you play Hearthstone, or if you play WoW, get in there because Wintervale has started. Mm-hmm. So we would like to take a second here and thank our patrons. Thank you so much for supporting the show over at patreon.com/thegamersin. I just wanted to remind you guys that you make it possible for us to do game night, which is this coming Thursday at 8 p.m. as per usual. We also have our patron hangout this week, which is at 7 p.m. Eastern, which is an hour before game night. When we stream those over on twitch.tv/JossPlays. So go and follow the channel if you haven't already. I think we're playing Don't Starve or Heroes of the Storm. I vote for Heroes of the Storm because of all the Christmas stuff. Like we just mentioned, all the Wintervale stuff. I would like to try out some Heroes in general. I feel like it's been a really long time since I played Heroes of the Storm. So I would like to get in there and play with my Sylvanas.
There's like a $30 pack that gets you all the Christmas stuff.
Yeah, which I think it was something like it was 15 or 20 for me. I can't remember because I had all the heroes already. I just didn't have all of the skins. So it was, it was cheaper for me. I also got a hero. I can't remember which one I bought. Might have been Rexxar because I had just over 10,000 gold. And so he was 50% off. And I wasn't sure if he was 50% off of his normal gold cost or not, but I bought him anyway. He was 10,000 gold and I was happy.
I don't think the gold cost gets discounted, but
I don't know, but I got another hero and I was pretty happy with myself.
Yeah,
I
did it.
I bought a hero with gold. I feel accomplished.
You beat Diablo.
Yeah. We also want to remind everyone that you can still donate to Extra Life at bit.ly/TGI2015. We wanted to thank again our patrons from October because all the money that you donated to the Gamers Inn in October went to our fundraising events and went into our fundraising for Extra Life. So if you want to head on over bit.ly/TGI2015, help out the kids. It is the giving charitable season. I know that they really appreciate every single dollar that goes towards the Children's Miracle Network of hospitals. Mm-hmm. So that brings us to our listener feedback. We got a tweet from Val about spoilers who says, related to my situation, Ryan, do you know what the situation is?
I think someone's... Oh, right. I should provide context. So yes. Val was talking about enjoying KOTOR, which is Knights of the Old Republic, an old BioWare Star Wars game. And someone talked to her about spoilers, and then she was like, and then stopped playing. Because she, you know, was just like, well, there's no point in continuing because it was just spoiled.
Right. So Val says, have you guys ever dropped a game because the plot was spoiled for you? I feel like this happened to me, and I couldn't put my finger on what game it was. Do you remember? I feel like it was a couple of years ago and there was something that I was playing and then I knew how it ended and I stopped, but I can't remember for the life of me what that game would have been.
I don't know. Was it a Telltale game?
No. I haven't finished Walking Dead. It might've been.
Yeah. I can't quite place what it would have been. Like maybe some Mass Effect DLC. Like I'm trying to think of like story-based content that would have like thrown.
No,
nah,
see, I still wouldn't have walked away from Mass Effect even if it was spoiled.
Batman.
Yeah.
No. I don't know. Oh, Shadows of Mordor?
I can't remember. But anyways, point is, no, I can definitely see how that would completely turn you off a game. I know it's definitely turned me off of movies. Like, someone's told me the end of a movie, and I'm just like, well, I don't really want to. Like, I was interested, but now I know the secret or the spoiler or the fact. Even sometimes saying, oh, it has such a twisty ending, that's enough to put me off, because then the whole entire movie I'm looking for the twist. So I can see being put off content. Can you remember if you've ever been put off anything? Or you're kind of a completionist, so I feel like you would just constantly... Yeah. Finish games regardless.
You're right. I am a completionist in that if I knew the spoiler, like I'd be pissed. More so because it's like, damn it, now I have to finish this game and know the ending before I get there. This is terrible. But I'm also kind of like too curious for that sort of thing. So I'll often sometimes find myself spoiling myself. I haven't done it in a long time, but I have, like, I get really into a game and I'll like subscribe to the subreddit and I'll be doing this, and I'm usually very good to avoid spoilers, and kudos to Reddit that some of those subreddits are so properly maintained that you don't click on something unless
everything's really flagged.
Yeah, it's very flagged. Now I remember I almost spoiled the ending of Mass Effect for me because I tried to read the art. I tried to look at the art book before playing the game.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, and it was kind of like, oh, I think I spoiled the end, but it turns out I just spoiled like one of the original ideas for the end. It didn't end up being that, but it kind of still was that ending.
Yeah.
But I mean, you could have saw it coming a mile away anyways, but it's just, it doesn't usually turn me away. But with movies, like if someone says to me, dude, Darth Vader is Luke's father, it's like, well, shit, really? Now I don't, is there really a point in watching that film now? Like, that's a bad example because, you know, Darth Vader being Luke's father is
just... I was going to say, that's a 35-year-old spoiler.
Yeah,
but... I feel at some point that that's just, yeah, not even a thing anymore.
Oh, my God. Speaking of spoilers, on last episode you were here, we were talking about Star Wars, and I had said, you can follow me at R. Murphy, just don't send me spoilers for Star Wars. And I guess Midnight Bomber is behind all the fake spoilers that he's been tweeting me for the last week.
That's amazing.
Which I'll pull up one. They've been pretty fantastic.
Should, you should pull them up. Well, I just remind everyone that we are doing a different time until January. We are going to be Wednesdays at 9 p.m. with the exception of next week because we're actually not going to do a show on the 23rd. If you'd like to see all of the changes, all of the new times for all of the shows on the A-Move Network, you can go to amove.tv/calendar. If you'd like to visit us on the web, you can do so at gamersinpodcast.com. Ryan, have you found those tweets?
I did. So, Midnight Bomber, one of them has been, spoilers, like Doctor Who's Sonic Screwdriver, everyone or someone will decide that slightly different shape of lightsaber is not enough. And I think Garrett might have said the same thing on one of his shows because he's been looping Garrett into a few of these. His most recent, fear is the path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Hate leads to suffering. Spoilers, we learn that suffering leads to fear. So it's just it's just a random. I really appreciate it. I'm seeing it Sunday, so if you want to tweet me actual spoilers, it's got to be like Monday.
Wait until Tuesday, because I'm not seeing it till Monday, so wait until Tuesday at least. Actually,
I'm completely joking. Don't.
Because I follow both of you, so I will see it if you guys are tweeting back and forth. So wait,
no public spoiler talking. Yeah. It was a story that went out where someone was at the premiere, and they enjoyed it so much that they were talking actively about the story, and they went past a open portion of the tent, which was supposed to keep it a private event, but they had an open portion for people to try and get signatures of their favorite characters. Mm-hmm. And they were walking by that segment and spoiled like a key moment in front of these people. And everyone's just like, no, what are you doing? One of the security guards is like, really, dude? You had like spoilers. Like,
oh man.
I feel like you could get like press revoked for doing something like that.
Yeah, like they won't be invited back.
Well, it was slash film, so they probably will get invited back, but there'll be a stern letter.
Yeah. If you'd like to find more of The Gamers In, you can find us on A-Move TV along with other fabulous podcasts, including The Angry Nerd, Into the Nexus, Overwatchers, and The Angry Chicken. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at JossPlays. Ryan is at R. Murphy, and don't forget to follow the show over at The Gamers In. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/AMoveTV. You can also find the show on Facebook and Google+. If you'd like to email the show and let us know about what you're playing or what your favorite in-game holiday festival is, you can do so at info@gamersinpodcast.com. So thanks for staying at The Gamers In, and remember, tune in not next week, but the week after.
Yay. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, or happy holidays, or happy Hanukkah, merry whatever it is you celebrate.
Have a great week.
Have a
great Enjoy week. Star Wars. Because that's inclusive, right?
Happy Star Wars
Happy week. Star Wars.